Hi, my name is Caroline, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from anxiety, but not obvious tonight, so. Fear and depression. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for this opportunity to show your glorious work in my life and how you continue to pursue and love me. I first went to Regen sometime in the spring of 2014. I was curious to know what this program was really about. When we broke into smaller groups that night, I listened to the other women share their struggles, but I wasn't convinced that this was the place for me. The more I listened, the more I thought that I didn't belong. When it was my turn to share, I said exactly how I felt. I didn't really know why I was there because I couldn't really identify any struggles in my life. And in fact, life was going so well, or so I thought. Unfortunately, it would be another couple of months before I decide to return. The lies that I allowed my soul to be fed over the years would be so convincing to me that I could not see how detached I was from reality. In truth, I was in denial about losing a battle of control and was suffering from depression, fear, and anxiety. At that time in my life, I had stuffed my feelings so deep down and pretended that they did not exist. The truth was, the ground from underneath me was starting to quake and quiver, and it was all I could do to keep upright before everything started falling down. I was born and raised in the Philippines. I am number 6 of 7 children. I grew up in a family that did not have much more than the basics. But my family managed to send us to the best private schools. My dad used to say, "When I die, the only thing that I would be able to leave you is a good education." My parents made huge sacrifices to make this happen. But school was hard for me. I processed information slowly, so therefore I produced work slowly. I was that fretful, tearful child who always felt lost and scared. I didn't like school. While I managed to get by, it wasn't without much fear, confusion, and anxiety. Growing up with 6 siblings, it was hard to compete for my parents' attention. Being that I was not good in school, the only way I felt validated was whenever I heard that one of my siblings was in trouble. If I couldn't earn my parents' approval through good grades, I was going to earn it through good deeds. Fast forward to many years later, I would apply the same way of feeling validated through the failures and struggles of coworkers. In the guise of being concerned and wanting to know how to help, I would participate in gossiping about others. Gossiping gave me a high that was easy, even legal, to obtain. A power rush, if you will. But just like all addictions, the highs never seemed to be enough. And soon I was not content with just listening. I too started talking, assuming, and speculating. My actions would soon result in having a teacher fired. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as that drama was over, I was no better than I was. Now, I walked around with fear, wondering who was talking and speculating and making assumptions about me. When I was a senior in high school, my family went on a trip to the beach with several other families. These were friends that my parents were in community with, doing life together in their walk with Christ. One night, one of the dads asked me to walk with him to tell him everything about my college plans. I was over the moon that someone was interested in what I was going to do. As we were walking and talking, I didn't notice that we were going somewhere isolated. Isolated from the rest of the group, and that the path seemed to get darker and darker. Suddenly, he cornered me and pinned me against the wall. I don't exactly remember what happened next, but all I could think of was to stay calm and coherent as possible. He was telling me that he wanted to be my special friend and that he would give me anything I wanted. I kept saying yes to him because I was so scared. I don't know how long that lasted, but I found that by staying calm, I was able to find the opportunity to push him off and run away. After that night, I felt so filthy. I was tainted, therefore not good enough. And while that event was so bad and hurtful, it wasn't as painful as confiding in your only sister, only for her to dismiss the whole thing. She told me, "That's just how men are. And though he touched me inappropriately, he didn't really rape me." She also told me that I couldn't tell anyone else, especially not my parents. So being that obedient child in the family, I did as I was told. I downplayed the event, and I stuffed all those ugly and uncomfortable feelings once again. My struggles and I were not worthy to be known. I moved to the U.S. to be with my parents right after college, leaving my sister and four brothers, who were over the age of 21 and therefore no longer eligible to easily get a residence visa in the U.S. It was a dark and depressing time of my life. I left everyone and everything I knew and felt out of place. In college, my father always said, "You were either a student or a worker. You couldn't be both." So looking for a job with zero work experience was close to impossible. I felt so low, seeing that no one deemed me as being qualified or worthy of anything. But God had a specific plan for me, and my life would soon change as someone finally saw something in me that they thought it was worth giving me a chance. I started working in a school as an assistant teacher. 3 years later, that school would sponsor me to get my teaching certificate, and I would hold that teaching career for 18 years now. Funny that I chose to go back to a place I didn't like as a child, but as a teacher, I learned that I could make a difference, and for the first time, I felt that I had a purpose. God would continue tugging at my heart, and through a new group of friends who invited me to do Bible studies, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior and started on a path to get to know Him more. For the first time, I got a glimpse of who He is and what it means to trust and rely on Him. A God who is not far and distant, but rather someone who is near and present. However, it would still take many years before I could fully grasp and understand the depth of His love for me. Fortunately, God continued and continues to pursue me until I found myself attending church here at Watermark and getting plugged in with friends who are dedicated in their walk with Christ. One time, as I was driving, in awe of what I have accomplished and acquired, I started talking to God, or rather asking Him questions. I knew that if I stayed in the Philippines, I would never experience the many things that I now easily take for granted. Hot baths, a toilet that flushes, driving my own car, having my own bank account. I asked God, "Why me? Out of all the brilliant people in my family, You would choose the least talented. Why choose me to have such a blessed life? I am so undeserving. I was no one, really. There's nothing special about me, and I was at best mediocre." At that time, I was just trying to find what my worth really was. But every time I had a chance to self-reflect, I didn't really like or understood what I saw. So I allowed myself to be distracted and be persuaded that I was not of value if not cloaked by what money could buy. In America, I learned that if you were willing, money was easy to find. I found myself working 3 jobs and enjoying the benefits of it. Working long hours didn't allow much time for reflection or self-pity. The more I work, the more I could ignore my feelings, and the more money I earned, When things look grim, money soothed my insecurities by allowing me to buy the things that I thought would make me good enough, perhaps even better. The more insecure I felt, the more I medicated with filling my life with material things. But those material things would never fill the void I felt. Instead, it only added to my anxiety, as not only did I accumulate stuff, I also accumulated debt that amounted to thousands and thousands of dollars, more than my humble teaching salary could afford. Now, going back how I came to Regen, 8 weeks after I first attended, I returned from my trip to the Philippines. That trip brought back all those ugly feelings and memories, and the gossiping ensued amongst my family members and I. And just as it was in the past, when the dust from all the drama settled, I was left in the same pit, only this time even deeper. It was all so ugly and messed up, I could no longer avoid the feelings that I have been stuffing deep down through the years. The hurt, the anger, and the resentments all resurfaced with nowhere to go, as I learned a long time ago not to talk about them. I found myself deeper into my depression. I felt hopeless and I could not get out of bed. I made the excuse that I was still suffering from jet lag weeks after my return. You see, not only did I have to face these feelings, I also found that I had to address the fact that my own family life, my marriage, was on shaky ground. Whenever my husband or my children showed signs of difficulties, I could not help but show my disappointment, and I recognized that I was now passing on the message that just like me, they too were not good enough. While I never thought that to be true, and while my entire being wanted to protect and love them, I didn't know how to. I was constantly frustrated with their frustrations and feared the worst when I saw their failures. I helped them the only way I knew how, with guilt and shame. This realization broke me, and I didn't know what to do. For the first time, I recognized that I could no longer pretend to be in control. And I was tired. I was done. I didn't really want to try anymore. It was at this moment that God showed me another path, and he showed me that there is hope in my situation. It was as if God whispered Exodus 14:14 to me. In it, God says, "I will fight for you. You need only to be still." It was at this time, when I didn't have anything left in me anymore to make a move, that God expertly took over. Through the encouragement of the women in my community group, I went back to Regen, this time desperate and willing to try. Through Regen, I saw how fearful I was and how my heart's desires were so misplaced. I sought the approval of others and did not for once consider what God thought of me. As I worked through my inventory, I discovered my pattern of fight or flight. If I was not withdrawing and isolating myself, I was proactively antagonizing or sabotaging someone. I learned that my worth was not in the failures of others, but in the price paid by Christ on the cross. I no longer see myself as inadequate. I am his chosen one. I no longer see myself tainted. I am blameless and made pure by his precious blood. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Through Regen, I realized how God has been preparing me all along. I now have a new life in Christ, and I walk this earth with purpose and meaning, in a new mission of sharing God's good news through my words and actions. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. how wonderful that this verse applies to me. But I've also learned that this verse applies to my family. In fact, it applies to everyone. And when I feel frustrated and impatient with anyone, I remind myself of how God has been so kind and merciful to me. And so who am I not to extend that same grace and patience to them? With my husband, I am learning to truly forgive and ask to be forgiven when I hurt him. Sure, I've said sorry many times before, but saying sorry and admitting how you were hurtful are very different from each other. When my children struggle, I am much more understanding and reasonable. It's not to say that they never test my patience, and I never lose it. But in humility, I am also quick to seek their forgiveness and try my best at motherhood once again. Being a mother has been the biggest blessing in my life, for not only was I given two precious gifts, it has taught me to cling to the Lord more than ever. Children have a way of letting us control freaks know that we are really not in control and cannot be in control. And whereas giving up control would have been a nerve-wracking idea a year or so ago, I now find that giving God the control has been so liberating for me, especially as I remind myself of who walks before me and who's got my back. When I get scared and anxious, because I still feel those every now and then, I remember to whom to turn to, and I do so much quicker than before. Philippians 4:6 has been a comfort to me. In it, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Nowadays, I find my security in walking closely with God, praying and talking to him, studying his word, and learning about him as much as I can. Without me holding on to him, I am that lost, fretful, and confused little girl once again. With him, I walk in confidence, knowing that he will lead me and guide me. If this is your first time at Regen, welcome. You are in a good place. Even if you feel you have no particular struggle, know that God wants to reveal his love for you. I hope you will choose to stay a little while longer. I know I am glad I gave it a second try. When I think of how I came to accept my salvation, the image of the Samaritan woman at the well, the one approached by Jesus, comes to mind. This woman, who was of no particular importance, her name isn't even mentioned, was singled out and personally approached by Jesus himself. I think to myself, I am that woman who is not particularly smart nor talented. I am that woman who is struggling to find worth in life-giving water. I am that woman pursued and personally approached by Christ himself. How overwhelming it is to know that I am loved and accepted just as I am.